Let's go to God's Word. Are y'all ready? Buckled in? Roger, how you doing back there, buddy? Doing good, man? Okay. On this message today, we're going to take it slow, brother. Got it? Take it slow. No, you've never heard me say that? Right. All right, here we go. We're going to slow it down. I got a brand new series I'm doing. Today is communion. This message is packed full, and so I'm going to divide it into two so that I don't have to just rush everything and we're going to miss stuff, okay? The goal is for us to have today's message, then we're going to move over to the book of James. And I'm going to look at that book through different eyes. I'm going to look at that book through eyes of favor. And that's the thing about God's Word. You know, you'll see a scripture, and then maybe you'll come back years later. Who knows? And it'll mean something totally different. Now, the meaning didn't change. Your life changed. You changed. And you needed something that before, when you're walking through there, it was good, but it just really wasn't what you needed at that time. It helped you. So I've made a purpose, an effort to do that in this new series. The series is called Favor. Can you say that out loud? Favor. Now, y'all with me or not? Now, I love the last series on end times, last days. I love that. I could just keep going and going and going and doing that. And people love that. But I also like to change. And our world right now, I'm going to tell you right now, our world needs people in this world that have the favor of God on their life. You hear me? We've got God's, what is that? What is that that I'm talking about? We're going to talk about it. But the series is called Favor, but it's favor with God and favor with people. Say that out loud. Favor with and favor with. What is that? Now, there's the big movement in the church today. They go, pray the favor over you. I'm going to pray the favor over you. Wouldn't that be nice? You could just meet somebody and they pray the favor over you. I got it. I hate to bust your bubble. I don't believe it works like that. Now, I think it's okay to pray for people. I love praying for people. But favor takes work. What? I didn't think we were supposed to work for stuff. You can't get saved by your works. You're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He died on the cross. He shed his blood. Who's he? Jesus. That's the only way you can be saved. Call on the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. Period. I'll go to church and be saved. No, you won't. You'll go to church and go to hell. You must be born again. You must put your faith in Christ. Communion ain't about this church. When we do communion today, it's about Jesus. About his death. About his resurrection. Shedding his blood for us. But favor is something different. Favor is something different. The Bible talks about work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And I don't think that's necessarily talking about being saved. I think that's when you're saved, life is work. And the Christian life is work. And the Christian life is a journey. You hear me? Yes or no? So I want to talk about favor. Look at it from a different angle. I'd actually like it not to just be favor with God, but favor with people. Wouldn't that be nice? Having favor with people. You might say, where'd you get that? Well, I got it from the Bible. Okay? I want to just start with this. I'm going to start a little slow. It wasn't in the message, and it's okay. Just chill a minute. In Luke chapter 2 is where Joseph and Mary left Nazareth, and they went on a journey back to Bethlehem because all the world was being taxed when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. We've memorized this, a lot of us, when we were kids, okay? And they made that journey, and she's pregnant. Remember all that? That's Luke 2. And so then you have Jesus being born, not in an inn, but in a manger, because there was no room for them in the what? That's Luke chapter 2. And so that's what you have in Luke 2. But then, a couple of different things about the birth of Christ, about a blessing there on the Lord when he was young, as a baby. And then you see something. That's where I'm headed. Are y'all all right so far? You see something happening. Here's Joseph and Mary again. They're leaving Nazareth again. But this time, Jesus is 12. You remember that story? He's 12, and they're going back to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. Now, Passover was celebrated by hundreds of thousands, if not millions, would come, and they would make that journey. Now, they were about 2 hours, about 3 hours in today's travel time. I've been there a bunch of times, guys. Doesn't make me an expert, but I've been there. So I can see it clear as crystal in my head. I've been there a lot of times. But anyway, so they traveled by foot, and they traveled with giant caravans, families. And they would have cousins and aunts and uncles and second cousins and fifth cousins. And they were all about family. And you'd have grandpa and you'd have grandma and you'd have great-granddaddy and great-grand. And they're just traveling, and it is slow going because they're on foot. The best they could have done is made it in about 3 days. Can you say 3 days? 3 days. Best they could have done. But it probably could have took longer than that, because when you go from Nazareth to Jerusalem, you go through all kinds of history. It's unbelievable. Bible history from Nazareth to Jerusalem. And you go through what will happen in the last days. The Battle of Armageddon. You go through that area on this travel. And so it would have taken them at least 3 days to get there. And so they had Passover. And after Passover was over, y'all sleeping on me yet? Good. Don't sleep. Stay awake. After Passover was over, everybody went back where they from. But they traveled in these giant caravans. And it was in a time where you could trust your family. That's sad, ain't it? It's a sad day today, isn't it? Some people don't even want to let their kids go over to some of their family's house. Is that true or false? Don't know what they're going to do to your kid. But back in those days, but there were laws. If you did something to the kids back in those days, you were deader than a hammer that day. Okay? But the bottom line is, so they left. And Jesus is 12. And what 12-year-old wants to walk with his mom and dad the whole time? None of them. So he's hanging most likely with his cousins, with his friends, and with aunts and uncles, and who knows? And it's a huge crowd. They're traveling. It takes 3-4 days at least. And so they're not even thinking, where's Jesus? It's not because Mary and Joseph are bad parents. It's because Mary and Joseph had a great family. Did y'all hear me? How many have a great family? You can trust your family. Want to raise some hands in this room? Got a great family. So they could trust their family. What does that mean? You don't even see Jesus. You don't see him at night, because you know he's with the family. And so they went a couple of days' journey. They finally get back to Nazareth, most likely, or getting close enough. Where's Jesus? Say that out loud. Where's Jesus? Oh, he's fine. I can hear Joseph saying, hush, it's good. Don't worry about it. Boy's growing up. He's 12. Getting stronger. Leave him alone. It's all right. But they can't find him. Then panic ensues. Where is Jesus? They can't find him. He ain't with grandma. He ain't with cousins. He ain't with uncles. He ain't nowhere. What? So, we're talking about favor, but we ain't there yet. Hang on. So what do? They got to go all the way back Man, if my mama had to go just up the road to Hardee's to find me, it would have been the end of the world. You know what I'm saying? It would have been over right there. Can you imagine having to go 3 days' journey? You ain't got no car. You walking. And you're walking against the grain of people, most likely. Where are you going? You don't even want to know. So they get back to Jerusalem. And they find Jesus. You know the story? Where is he at? He's in the blank. He's in the temple. Talking to the religious leaders. 12 years old. Talking to the doctors. And he's asking them questions. And they're asking him questions. That's crazy. And so his mom, Mary, Mother Mary, and his earthly dad show up. And Mary's the one that does the talking. What are you doing? I don't know what she said. Whatever she said, if you knew it, you probably wouldn't pray to her. Just think about that. Got it? How many as moms, you've said things to your kids before, and you said it and you meant it, but later you thought, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Can I see some hands? Amen. But you don't necessarily take it back, do you? No. So she comes and she sees him there and she says, what are you doing? You know, whatever. Your father and I have sought you sorrowing. Can you imagine? Jesus. And Jesus has been entrusted to them by God Almighty, as all our children have. But to lose Jesus, what kind of parent are you if you lose Jesus? Come on. Now, one job. Don't lose Jesus. Come on, man. So they lost Jesus. Now they found him and said, we've sought you sorrowing. And then he says these words. Why is it that you have sought me sorrowing? You might know this line. Say it with me. Did you not know I must be about, say it with me, my Father's business? You might wonder, Gary, why do you have people say scriptures with you? So that you know I'm preaching the Bible. You think I could have them all planned to say those things? No. We preach the word here. So, you know, and I guess they should have known. I mean, with everything that had happened, I mean, the angels coming to Mary, the whole thing. I mean, yeah, maybe they should have known he'd be about his father's business. But at the end of the day, Mary and Joseph were parents. And so anyway, the Bible says that they really just thought about what he said, but didn't really understand what he was saying. Okay? So y'all ready for the message? We're getting there. So, they go back to Nazareth. Come on. How about you walk beside us? How many of you have done that with your kids before? I mean, it is. Forget about any privilege. Your privilege is over. Okay? So here's Jesus being disciplined, in my opinion, because I'm a parent. Okay? So here's Jesus on a short leash. 3 days journey back to Nazareth. And did you know for the next 18 years Jesus stayed there? And we don't really know what Jesus did in those 18 years. He lived in obscurity. Can you imagine being the Son of the living God and living in a place called Nazareth? An out-of-the-way place. You actually went up pretty good hill there to get to it.
once you got close to it. I've been there many times. And the bus will do this to get you up there. And he grew up there. But there's a verse that I read that you have probably read too, but it just took me. And it's the emphasis for this series I'm going to do. And here it is. So what did he do in those 18 years? What did he do in those 18 years? How much time do you have left? How much time do you have left? You got 18 years? I don't know. If I have 18 years, I'll be 80. But we know we don't have anything like that to look at, do we? We don't know. This is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in which one? This one. Amen? But what do you do in those 18 years? Well, here's what we have. This is all you have. This is it. This is it right here. This is it in the Bible. What? Say that verse out loud with me. Let it sink in. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and... Well, that's the title of our new series, Favor with God and People. That's all you have. 18 years. So what does that mean? What does that mean? Jesus increased. Well, he increased in wisdom. So that means he increased mentally. And you might say, well, no, Jesus didn't increase mentally. He's God's son. He knew it all. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, Philippians 2, who being in the form of God, what's our word? Thought it not what? Robbery to be equal with God. That means when Jesus came, even though he knows he is God, hard to imagine that he didn't hold on to that. He didn't grasp for that. But he willingly came to this earth. And I don't understand all that, but he's God and it happened. We're to have this mind where he willingly came. He thought it not robbery to hold on to that or to be equal with God. But he made himself of no what? Reputation. And he took upon him the form of a what? Servant. And he was made in the likeness of who? Men and women, boys and girls. He was a man, but made in the likeness of men. And the Bible goes on to say, in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He humbled himself. And he became obedient. Even unto death, the death of the cross. So, we're to have that kind of mind. So Jesus increased in wisdom. What does that mean? He laid aside, whether you like it or not, he was in all points tempted and tested just like you and me. He was born in Bethlehem as a baby. He grew. And he had to make choices. Did you hear me or not? He was the perfect, sinless sacrifice, the Lamb of God. He came with a purpose. That purpose was you. And so he increased in wisdom. What? Yeah. That's hard to handle, ain't it? Okay? When he was on this earth, he grew mentally. So that's what it means. He increased in that period of time. He increased in wisdom. He increased in stature. What does that mean? It means he grew up. He got stronger physically. He grew strength. When did Jesus start his earthly ministry? When he called his disciples. How old was he? He was how old? 30 years old.
He's a grown man. Y'all listening? All right. He was a grown man. So during this period of time, he grew physically. And then the last thing is this. He grew, say that last part of that verse. He grew in what? With and people. What does that mean? So he grew mentally. He grew physically. Say that last part with me. Favor. He grew what? Say it out loud. He grew what? So much of the church hasn't grown relationally with God. We go to church. Dress up. It's like going to work and sticking a time card. Click, click. That's not a relationship. God wants us to grow relationally with Him. You hear me loud and clear, yes or no? Well, it sounds goofy. You're the goofy one. God wants you to have a relationship with Him. He wants you to know that He loves you and He wants you to love Him back. He wants it to be a two-way street, a thing, man. And Jesus grew relationally. In that period from 12 to 30, He grew socially. He learned how to treat people. You hear me or not? I want God's favor. But you're meaner than a snake. You're rude as a day is long. Nobody likes you. But I got the favor of God. You just got something. I want the favor of God. But it's going to take work. And you know what Jesus did? He worked at it. I'm good. I'm Christian. I don't need to work at it. Jesus had to work at it. And He's God. You ain't God, but you don't have to work at it. No, He worked at it. So favor with God and man. But that's just being able to relationally function in a relationship with God, His Father. But also to function in a relationship with people. So socially and what? Spiritually. So that is our series coming up. Got it? But we're not done yet. I know you want to be. That's not very socially nice for you to talk to me like that. Yeah, it's a good thing I'm not a mind reader. Here we go. Let's go. Favor with God and people. Let's just explore it. What is favor? What is favor? We can just say, I pray favor over you. They'll do that on TV. You send them money, they'll pray God's favor over you. I'm not against people praying for God's favor on me. I'm not against it. But when I hear that, that means when they pray that, that means I receive that, but I got to work at it. Faith that works is what? Dead. Got to work at it. So what does favor mean? According to Webster's Dictionary, it means approval. So what's that mean? I want the approval of God. I want to increase in God's approval of me. I want to increase in people's approval of Gary. Well, I don't care what people think about me. They think what they want. That is not the child of God's attitude. Because what people think about you is what they're going to think about Jesus. So that attitude sucks. It's nothing wrong with wanting the approval of God, but also wanting the approval of people. I don't care what my neighbor thinks about me. You should. And a good chance you're going to have to work at it. How? Socially and spiritually. If you're going to have any kind of relationship. What is favor? It's an act of kindness. This is what the dictionary says. Favor is an act of kindness. I want God's kindness toward me. How many want that? I want that. Well, I just pray for it and it'll just happen. Most likely, not necessarily the way it needs to be. I want the kindness of people. You might say, I don't need it. I don't need it, man. I don't need it. I didn't say you needed it. I said, I want it. I want it. I want when I go into a restaurant,
not for them to wait on me hand and foot like I'm the one to pay in the bill you do for me. I want when I walk in that restaurant, just as soon as I walk in that door, I can see a smile on their face because I just walked in. Well, you're the pastor of Fellowship Church. That's why they do that. Did you know most pastors, they don't do that with them. It's taken me work. Work. What's the Bible say? If a man's going to have friends, he's got to show himself what? Friendly. Can't tell you the number of times people come to me, you know, I don't understand. I don't have no friends. Have you ever thought you're the problem? I'm serious. Favor. Favor means approval. It means an act of kindness. Have you ever thought about why people aren't kind to you? I know this might hurt some of your feelings, but if I can help you, I want to help you. What does it mean? Wait a minute. This dictionary thing. Favor means to treat as a favorite. The favor of God. I'm one of his favorites. You shouldn't say that. Lightning's going to strike you. You know, my daughter Elise has told me for years, she says, Dad, I believe I'm God's favorite. And when she said that, it sounds goofy, off the wall, crazy. You know why? Because I don't think like her, and I should think more like her. What she meant was, God's so good to me. Anything I've ever asked or thought, he's done it. He's helped me for things I've prayed for, things he's cared for me. That's what she means. And I don't know if I've ever seen anybody more content than my daughter. My daughter didn't have a lot. She works and serves, still tries to help me where she can. But she did abuse and rape counseling for years and years. But she's had a baby, now had another baby, and she's made that a priority. Which means less, and Wilson has to work more. But you know what I've seen? I haven't seen her contentment go down. I've seen her contentment, if anything, go up. And she still feels like she's highly favored. You hear me? It's something I got to work on. Yeah, amen. Chuck said she's highly favored among us too because he knows my daughter pretty well. Yeah, thank you, buddy. I appreciate that. So, but is there, do you want people to treat you as one of their favorites? Do you want the favor of people? Is there something wrong with desiring that level in your life to where people think that you're just one of their favorites? You can say I'm stupid, which is fine. But when I go around town, when I walk at the high school campus, when I hang out with some of the coaches, Coach, I never thought that I wasn't their favorite. You hear me? I never thought, like when I came into the locker room with you guys, oh, here he is, we don't like him. I never thought that. I just didn't. I felt like I was... But Coach, I had to work at it. Is that true? Have I lost y'all this morning? I just don't want you to think that you can have this attitude that you're one of God's favorites or that this attitude that you're one of people's favorites without you having to work at it. I don't want you to think you can bring your money to this church and you just don't get it now. Or that I can just pray over you and now you got it. Now, if that gives you the extra strength you need to work on it, then praise the Lord. Amen. I got to quit. You know what that word favor means? Look at that last one. It means preferential treatment. For somebody to say, I don't want the favor of God, you mean you don't want him to prefer you? You don't want him to prefer you and take care of you like he does that little sparrow. preferential treatment. It don't sound right, does it? I want preferential treatment from God. You know why? Because we've screwed up what preferential treatment means. Our government is shot, okay? I'm going to tell you right now. They want to take from people that's got money over here and give it to people that don't work. Excuse me. Everybody's supposed to be equal. That's called communism. You don't build anything like that. And this church is not going to run like that. Why so-and-so get to do such-and-such? Have you ever noticed how nice they are and you're not? Do you see what I mean or not? You see how they're willing and they don't complain, but you do? I'm not trying to be ugly. I don't have anybody in mind. I'm really doing this series because of myself. I am. I want the favor of God on my life. And you guess what? I have it. I just want to see it better. Whatever time I have left, I want to see myself as one of His favorites. I want to have a greater love relationship with me and Him. I don't want to grow old and be mean to you. I hope that over time you have seen a change in me, if you've known me for a while, for the better. I want to be more relational with you. Got it? I don't want to just prefer like two people in the church. I just prefer this one, and that's called a clique. I want to prefer, but wouldn't it be nice if we all worked at that? Yes or no? So what's wrong with being God's favorite? What's wrong with being people's favorite? I want that, but it doesn't sound right to me. As I'm writing this series, it don't sound right. Gary, what are you asking for? It don't sound right. Well, I grew up in Rockingham. I grew up in a broken family. I've had some hurt in my life. Life will give you some hurdles, and Satan will use those hurdles to knock you down, man. And get you to be what you could be, but you ain't, because he just keeps beating you. But I want to be the one that fights back. You hear me? I want this mountain. Why does it sound wrong? Well, because we go after it the what? The wrong way. So I'm going to take you on a journey in a book that I've never studied that way before. And I want to see how I believe these are the ways that you get the favor with God and with people. And we're going to start that next week. There's nothing wrong with wanting favor. Did y'all hear me? Nothing wrong with wanting that. Okay? There's nothing wrong with wanting God's favor. There's nothing wrong with wanting people's favor. How many of you ever had somebody you had to work with them, though, on? I mean, you had to really work to get that. Can I see some hands? I had to work at it. How many would raise a hand and say, I got it now. It worked. It really worked. About four of you. Well, it sounds like I got a good class. So if we're going to have the favor of God, we got to get it the right way. We've got to get it the right way. Guess what? Say it with me. It's going to take some what? And it's going to take some what? Don't forget that part. Jesus grew in wisdom and he grew in stature or strength. And he grew in what? Favor with God and man. So Jesus, say the verse with me one last time. Let's say it out loud. We're done. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with. Let's thank the Lord for his word. That was just a little intro. That's okay.